Saram dear listeners, and welcome once again to Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. Since we have started this series many weeks ago, it has been a joy to share with you one beautiful bhajan from the yesteryears in this series. Every time we take up one bhajan which Bhagwan used to relish listening to in the 60s and 70s, and all these bhajans, if you have noticed, are short, sweet, with simple tunes, simple lyrics, and beautiful meaning, beautiful vibrations. They are bhajans which anyone can easily follow, and they have very simple melodies. Today also we have a bhajan of that nature. It's a simple four-line bhajan adoring Lord Narayana. The first line of the bhajan flows like this.
Narayana Hari Narayana.
So this is the bhajan we will learn now. This was composed by Mr. Mohan Rao, a distinguished devotee of yesteryears, who sang in the physical presence of Bhagwan decade after decade in the 60s, 70s, 80s and until 90s. So let's get started becoming familiar with the lyrics of the bhajan, and then we'll move on to the tune, the raga, and then we'll take up every word of this bhajan and contemplate on what could be its significance. So here are the lyrics to begin with.
Narayana, Hari Narayana, Narahari Rupa, Namo Narayana, Narayana, Hari Narayana, Neeraja Nayana, Neeradhi Shayana, Narada Sannuta, Namo Narayana.
Now that you are familiar with the lyrics, here is the tune of the bhajan. Brother Srinivasulu and Anirudh now give us a slow demonstration.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale G Pancham.
Narayana Hari Narayana.
Narayana Hari Narayana.
Narayana Hari Narayana.
Narayana Hari Narayana.
Narahari Rupa Namo Narayana.
Narahari Rupa Namo Narayana.
Narahari Rupa Namo Narayana.
Narahari Rupa Namo Narayana.
Narayana Hari Narayana.
Narayana Hari Narayana.
Neeraja Nayana. Neeradhi Shayana.
Neeraja Nayana. Neeradhi Shayana.
Neeraja Nayana. Neeradhi Shayana.
Neeraja Nayana. Neeradhi Shayana.
Narada Sannuta Namo Narayana.
Narada Sannuta Namo Narayana.
Narada Sannuta Namo Narayana.
Narada Sannuta Namo Narayana.
Narayana Hari Narayana.
Now that you know the tune, for those of us who are keen students of music, here is Anirudh explaining to us the raga of the bhajan, sharing with us the technical nature of this composition.
Having learned the tune of this bhajan, how to sing, from Srinivasulu sir, now we shall go to the musical aspect of this bhajan. we will just discuss a little about what raga it belongs to and what tala it is set to. So this sweet four-liner bhajan, Narayana bhajan, is based on the Carnatic raga called Vakula Bharanam. And in the Hindustani classical music, we call it Basant Mukhari. It's a beautiful raga with all the seven notes in it. Let me just sing the Arohana and the Avrohana of this raga.
Sa re
Komal Dri
Ga
Shuddha Ga
Ga Ma Pa Da
Komal Da
Ni
Ni is Komal Ni
Sa Ni Da Pa Ma Ga Re Sa.
So you would have observed that it is just one note different from our very popular raga, which is Maya Malava Gaula or Bhairavi or Bhairav.
Sarigama Padani Sa.
That becomes Maya Malava Gaula. Whereas the Vakula Bharanam is
Sa Ni Dha Pa Ma Ga Re Sa.
So if you see one note different from the other ragas, there are many other ragas as well, very close to Vakula Bharanam. One is Ahir Bhairav, and other one is Mahayamala Gola, as I told you. These are all different, just one note away. So Vakula Bharanam is actually a beautiful raga. You have not many bhajans, or not so many compositions are there in the raga. But of course, bhajans are always a mix of many ragas with many notes interspersed in it. So coming to this raga,
Are.
The Komal Dri makes it very meditative. As I was singing this notes of Vakula Bharanam for you, I was reminded of a very beautiful sitar rendition of this raga by Pandit Niladri Kumar in an album called If. The name of the album is If, and the name of the piece in Vakula Bharanam is Calling Ganesha. So I request all the listeners to listen in leisure this sitar rendition, so that you'll get a beautiful idea of how the raga is presented through the divine instrument sitar. So let's come back to this bhajan and let's take up each line and do the swaras for each line. So the first line.
Narayana Hari Narayana Sanini Sa Sari Gama Gari Gari Sa Sani ni sa sari ga ma ga ri ga ri sa Nara hari rupa namo narayana Sari ma 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 ga 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 ma pa ma ga pa ma ga re sa. Sari ma 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 ga 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 ma pa ma ga pa ma ga re sa.
We come back to the first line again.
Sa ni ni sa sa ri ga ma ga ri ga ri sa. Sa ni ni sa sa ri ga ma ga ri ga ri sa. Ni ra ja na ya na ni ra di sa ya na. Ga ma pa 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 da pa pa da ni da pa ma ga. Ga ma pa 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 da pa pa da ni da pa ma ga. Narada sannutanamo narayana. Da 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 pa da pa da ma ma ga ga ma pa ma ga pa ma ga re sa. Da 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 pa da pa da ma ma ga ga ma pa ma ga pa ma ga re sa.
So that was the swaras for the bhajan. Coming to the similar bhajans in this raga, purely in this raga, you have bhajans like
Hari Om Tat Sat Namah Shivaya. Sai Om Tat Sat Namah Shivaya. Shankara Shankara Sadashiva. Sanatana Sarathi Sai Sham.
And one more very very similar bhajan, almost the tune of this bhajan is similar to that bhajan, which is
Garuda Vahana Narayana.
Having done the similar bhajans in this raga Vakula Bharanam, now let's move on to the tala aspect of the bhajan. This bhajan is set to Adi Talam or the Keherva in the Hindustani classical music. Let's have a demonstration with the Kanjira, starting with the count. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Narayana Hari Narayana. Narayana Hari Narayana. Narahari Rupa Namo Narayana. Narahari Rupa Namo
Brother Arvind Sai for joining in this session with the demonstration of Kanjira.
Thank you, Anirudh. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
So with this, we are through with the raga, the lyrics, the tune. Let's move on now to the most important aspect of the feeling. How to offer this bhajan to the Lord. How to prepare our heart so that this bhajan becomes a fit offering at his lotus feet. So let's take every line of this bhajan and ruminate on its significance. We begin with the first line.
Narayana Hari Narayana.
Narayana can be split into Nara and Ayana. Ayana means resting place. And Nara means living entities. So Narayana means the one who rests or who resides in living entities, which means the one who is all pervasive, because everything in this universe is alive. Everything in this universe is breathing. Everything is so much full of energy. And Narayana means the one who is there everywhere, who is all pervasive. There is an interesting story of the Narayana necklace that Swami materialized in July 2005. From September 2003, Veda chanting became a daily activity in the Prashantinilaya Mandir. In fact, it was part of Bhagavan's darshan. Every time Bhagwan emerged from his residence, Veda chanting immediately commenced in the Sai Kulwant Hall. So on July 3, 2015, Swami came in as usual to the sound of the Vedic chanting by the students and staff. And after he took his seat on the stage, Swami started reading the letters that devotees had offered to him during the darshan round. And on opening one oversized envelope, Swami took out what seemed to be a booklet. Swami went through it carefully and then he called one of our brothers, an alumnus of Swami's institute, who is part of the Prashanti Vedam group. And Swami gave that booklet to him and said he should read it carefully and try to understand the importance of the Vedic hymns that we are chanting. So this brother took this booklet respectfully and returned to his seat. After a few minutes, Swami called him again and told him to recite the Narayana Upanishad. So he started the Narayana Upanishad and everyone followed and joined. And then later on, Swami wanted him to explain the meaning of what is being chanted. And so the Vedam group would chant a couple of stanzas from this epic hymn and then this brother would give out the meaning of what was chanted. And so on it went. A bit of chanting by the Vedam group and then explanation of the Narayana Upanishad. And this is how the entire hymn of Narayana Upanishad was thus translated for the benefit of all the devotees in the physical presence of Bhagwan that afternoon. The Narayana Upanishad deals with the glory of Lord Narayana as extolled in the four Vedas. The opening stanzas deal with creation and describe all that is said about Narayana from the Rig Veda. The Rig Veda says that from Narayana emerged the life principle. It is from him emerged the mind, the senses, sky, fire, water and earth. And all these that emerged from him combined together to form the creation that we see. Brahma, Maharudra, Indra, all the Prajapatis and all the demigods have all emerged from Narayana. The 12 Adityas, the 11 Rudras, the 8 Lords of Directions, all the Vedas and all types of wealth had their origin from Narayana. Everything is sustained by him and ultimately everything merges into him. So this is what Rig Veda says. And from the Yajur Veda, we learn that Narayana is the eternal principle. Brahma, Shiva, Indra, they are all Narayana. Earth and heaven, time and directions, they are all Narayana. Narayana forms the inner and outer worlds. Everything is the manifestation of Narayana. Past and the future are all manifestations of Narayana. Narayana is blemishless, ever blissful. He is non-dual. There is nothing which is not Narayana. Narayana is the very supreme self, the one without a second. Narayana and Vishnu pervade the entire universe. It is Narayana alone who exists. So this is how Yajurveda describes the principle of Narayana. And when we move on to Samaveda, Samaveda declares that the primordial sound Om has to be uttered first, followed by Namo. And then comes the meditation on Narayana. Om is single-lettered, Namo is two-lettered, and Narayana is five-lettered. And all these together form the eight-lettered mantra, Om Namo Narayana, which is the king of all the mantras. Those who chant this mantra with sincere faith and devotion will attain good health, long life and prosperity. They will also attain the status of Prajapati, the Lord of all living beings. They will attain the immortal state of Narayana himself. So this is what Samaveda sings about Narayana. And when we come to Atharvana Veda, it says the pranava or om is made up of three syllables, a, u and ma. Pranava is verily the life principle. Pranava is supreme bliss. It is the supreme state of Brahma. It is the supreme state of the Atma. The masters of yoga who know this adore the pranava and they chant om and they attain the abode of liberation. Such yogis who contemplate on the pranava break the bonds of birth, life and death. Those who adore the mantra Om Namo Narayana attain the supreme abode of Narayana, Vaikuntha. Narayana is Param Brahma. His seat is the lotus of the heart, and knowledge of this Lord is highest wisdom, and this wisdom shines like lightning. Shri Krishna, the son of Devaki, is the very embodiment of Brahma. He is also adored as Madhusudana. He resides in all beings. He is the fundamental basis of everything. He himself is causeless. He is the causeless cause of everything. So this is how Atharvana Veda ruminates on the principle of Narayana. And then in the Narayana Upanishad comes the last stanza, where it is mentioned that Narayana Upanishad is the crest jewel of the essence of the four Vedas. If this Upanishad is chanted in the morning, it destroys the sin committed during the previous night. If it is chanted in the evening, it removes the sin committed in the day. If it is chanted at noon, it pulverizes the five great sins. And one who chants this Upanishad attains the merit of the study of the Vedas and ultimately attains oneness with Narayana. So all this was translated and explained by this brother to the audience after their chanting of the relevant verses that afternoon. And as this was happening, as he was explaining the importance of Om Namo Narayana, Bhagwan suddenly turned to this boy and asked him, "What is the meaning of Vaikuntham?" Generally, anyone would answer as Vaikuntha being the abode of Lord Vishnu, because that is what Vaikuntha is, just like Kailasha is the abode of Lord Shiva. But this brother, better informed than most, and someone with a great presence of mind, he remembered a definition that Swami had given in a discourse, and he said, "Vaikuntham is anything that is not narrow, that is broad, that is ever expansive, where there is no kuntita, there is no constriction." And when Bhagwan heard this answer, Swami beamed at his reply, and Swami wore the proud smile of a teacher who realizes that his students are finally getting it. And so Swami was so happy at the end of this mantra. Swami was extremely pleased. Everyone rejoiced looking at Bhagwan and his beautiful smile. And Bhagwan closed his eyes and he raised his hands in circular motion. And everyone was lost in bliss looking at Bhagwan's sublime gesture. And then suddenly Bhagwan waved his hand, and he waved it vigorously, and out came a beautiful golden necklace. Swami undid the clasp, and then he called this brother who had just done the translation of Narayana necklace, and he handed over this beautiful, exquisite golden necklace to him. Bhagwan also told him something, and this brother listened to it very carefully. Witnessing this scene, the entire audience was electrified. The magnificence of the necklace was patently visible to all, even those who were seated in the last rows, because it was glittering. It was just sparklingly splendid. But everyone was wondering, what is it that Bhagwan told him when he gave the necklace? And now, this brother turned to the audience, and he held up the necklace, and then began to explain to all the significance of the necklace, which was just explained by Bhagwan. Swami had said that the necklace contained the power of the sacred mantra Om Namo Narayana. He went on to state that Swami explained to him that all the Vedas, the Upanishads and the other scriptures illumine the path that man has to take to attain this final destination, which is nothing but merging in divinity. And this mantra, Om Namo Narayana, contains the essence and the power of all the scriptures. The fatherly and the motherly aspect of divinity is contained in this mantra. Without either of them, there can be no creation. But if one were to contemplate deeply, Swami said one would realize that there is no difference between the two aspects, Purusha and Prakriti, God and nature. They are just one and the same. And after explaining the significance, this brother turned towards Swami and held the necklace to hand it over back to him. But Swami graciously asked him to keep it in his pocket and return it to him later. So Om Namo Narayana is the essence of all the scriptures. And in this line, Narayana, Hari Narayana, we are just chanting this mantra. Hari means remover, the one who removes all obstacles on our spiritual path. So the first line of this bhajan exhorts us to chant the name of Hari, chant this beautiful, powerful, potent name, Narayana, and be free from all problems. Let's move on to the second line.
Narahari Rupa Namo Narayana.
Narahari. Nara means man, Hari means God. Narahari means one who is God, who came down as man. Rupa means form. So Narayana is one who comes down in a human form. That is what is the meaning of Narahari Rupa. And we offer salutations, we offer Namo, Namo, we offer our pranams to this Narayana. Many theologians and believers, even though they worship the Almighty and profess walking on the path laid down by one of the prophets or the messengers of God, they treat the concept of God Himself descending down with scorn and disbelief. This has been the case for centuries. The most popular Mughal emperor of India, Akbar the Great, who believed in the invisible and formless Allah, once openly scoffed at the so-called Hindu idea of avatars, of God assuming forms, and threw a challenge to all the men in his court to convince him about the need and the rationale for such an event. So Birbal, the celebrated courtier who was known for his wit and wisdom, asked the emperor for a week's time to answer his question. And a few days later, Birbal arranged an exciting boat ride for the pleasure of the king and for his family. And as the premier was cruising along, soaking in the sublimity of nature, away from his sight, the canny Birbal dropped a life-sized doll of the king's little son into the river. And the king, who was shocked to hear the loud splash, which was accompanied by a piteous cry from Birbal, "Oh, the prince has fallen into the water, the prince has fallen into the water," instantly the king jumped into the water to rescue his son. And when this happened, Birbal disclosed the real drama. Of course, the king was terrified and the king was angry, but after everything cooled down, Birbal said, "I beg your pardon, your majesty, but I had to perforce stage this drama to answer your doubt." But the king did not understand. Then Birbal clarified, "Your majesty, you could have ordered any of us to dive into the river, but the circumstance was so precarious and your affection for your little one was so intense that without even battling your eyelid, you yourself took the plunge into the river." So is the case with God's incarnations. "I have answered your doubt, my Lord." What does a mother do when she sees her child walking away from her towards a grave danger? Does she look around to find the most suitable person to help? Or does she just dash without losing a split second? It is the same with our Lord too. In a revealing discourse delivered more than a quarter century ago in 1964, Swami said, "The decline of righteousness and the unmatched love of the Lord for His creation is what compels the Lord to descend." Bhagwan further added, "The Lord is love itself. He comes in human form so that you can talk to Him, you can move with Him, you can serve Him, adore Him, achieve Him, and recognize your kinship with Him." In the only press interview that Bhagwan has given in 1970, the editor of Navakal asked him, "At what age did you acquire this divine power?" And Swami said, "From my very birth." He paused and he continued, "No, even before that." So the editor evidently was struck with wonder. And then Baba continued, "Yes, I resolved upon my birth. I decided who should be my mother. Mere humans can choose only who can be their wife or husband. The mother was chosen by the son in the Rama incarnation and also in the Krishna incarnation. Then too, the task for which the birth was decided upon was conferring love on all, and through that love, fostering righteous living. And it is the same in the current avatar too. The avatar comes to rescue mankind. He descends for the ascent of every living being. And because he takes a human form, he is called Narahari Rupa, and that is what is conveyed in this line. So when we sing this line, let us express our gratitude to the Divine Lord and offer our salutations for assuming a form in flesh and blood for the benefit of mankind time and again. We move on to the third line. This is a repeat of the first line, exhorting us to chant the name of Narayana and Hari. We now move on to the fourth line.
Nirajanayana, Niradhishayana.
Niraja means the one that is born out of water. Nira is water, Ja is to be born. Niraja refers generally to the lotus. The lotus is born out of water. Nirajanayana means the one whose eyes are like lotus. The Lord is always described as lotus-eyed one. He is described as the one with the lotus feet, with the lotus face and so on. Why is the Lord always associated with the lotus? Bhagavan explains that the lotus is born out of water and slush, but it is always untouched with water and slush. If a drop of water falls on a lotus leaf, it just has to roll down immediately. Nothing ever sticks to the lotus leaf. Similarly, even though the avatar takes human form in earth, the avatar is above the earth. Even though the avatar takes a form in this world, it is above the world. Nothing of the world can touch the avatar. And that is the reason why he is described as lotus-eyed one, Nirajanayana. Niradhishayana. Niradhi means ocean. Nira means water. So Niradhi is ocean. Niradhi Shayana means the one who reclines in this ocean. What is this ocean? This ocean is the ocean of our devotion. It is this ocean formed from the tears of our joy, our ecstasy in thinking of the Lord. The Lord loves to reside in the ocean of our contemplation on his name and on his form. That is the meaning of Nirajanayana, Niradhishayana. So when we sing this line, let us think about the Lord who is absolutely untouched, unattached with the world, and who only loves to reside in the tears of our devotion. We move on to the last line.
Narada sannuta namo narayana.
Narada sannuta means the one who is extolled by Narada. Narada is the celestial devotee of the Lord who sings the praises in all the three worlds. Once when he asked Narayana, what is the best place where one can always find Narayana, which is the permanent address of Narayana, Narayana says, Mat bhakta yatra gayanti tatra tisthami Narada. Which means, O Narada, know that wherever my glory is sung, I install myself there. So the Lord's presence can be felt wherever his glory is sung. And that is what we do when we sing bhajans. When we sing bhajans, we are in communion with the Lord. We are extolling his glory. We are contemplating and ruminating on his names, on his power, on his compassion, on his love. And when we do this contemplation in our meditation, we see him we feel Him. We are filled with Him. So in this line, Narada Sannuta Namo Narayana, we offer our salutations to the one who loves to reside wherever His name is sung. So that gives us a brief idea of the bhava aspect of this bhajan. Let's now move on to singing this bhajan once again, now with all the members of the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan group and the devotees in the Sai Kulwant Hall. You will now listen to the Prashanti Mandir version of this bhajan. To the end of the current episode of Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. If you have any queries or comments or suggestions, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. With gratitude and love, we offer this endeavor at the lotus feet of our most beautiful, beloved Bhagwan. So that brings us to the end of this episode of Bhajan Tutor and your listeners. Since we started this series, we thought we will do 9 bhajans in this Vintage Bhajan Classroom series, and then it got extended to another 9. And as we did the 18, we discovered some more bhajans, and this discovery continues. We are every week, by Bhagwan's grace, able to find many beautiful compositions which Bhagwan used to relish. They used to be sung in the divine physical presence in the 60s and 70s, and these bhajans used to be sung not in 1 or 2 speeds but in 3, 4, 5, 6 speeds. And these bhajans, in fact, are perfect models of Sai bhajans. They are short, they are simple, they are namavalis, they are easy to follow. And so we don't want to miss this opportunity to share as many as bhajans of this nature, these bhajans which used to reverberate in the divine physical presence of Bhagwan in the formative years of the Satya Sai organization. So perhaps we will continue this series for another 7-8 weeks till
we exhaust all the beautiful bhajans that we have been able to locate, we've been lucky to locate. So we continue the Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom series. Dear listeners, if you please feel free to share your feedback. It always feels so good to hear from you, because ultimately we are serving the Swami who is in you, and it's always a blessing to receive any comment, because that also gives us ideas about how to proceed in this program. So it's time now to move on to the next segment, Shravanam Mananam Nityadhyasanam. Today we are actually rebroadcasting for you an episode of Shravanam Mananam Nityadhyasanam, which went live in 2014 on 28th August 2014. This was the discussion between Prem and Brother Sai Prakash, and it was a very special episode of Shravanam Mananam Nityadhyasanam. And today Prem is unable to come to the studio for his session because of a small emergency. So today we have the rebroadcast of the Shravanam Mananam Nityadhyasanam session that was first aired on 28th August 2014. And after Shravanam Mananam Nityadhyasanam, I will be back for the last segment of Thursday Live for Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. I'm Team Radio Sai Bishu. Thank you so much for being with us all this beautiful Thursday through. And here we go with Shravanam Mananam Nityadhyasanam. Thank you so much. Sayonara.